flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My college student is home. Hey, my college student is home. Oh, my gosh. I was asleep last night. It was probably 1 o'clock in the morning, and I got a tap on the shoulder. And I thought Denzel's come for me. He's here. But I woke up and it was Andrew. Not as good as Denzel, but my son's home for the holidays. So for all your parents out there who their college student has come home with baskets full of dirty laundry and lots of love, let's enjoy them over the next couple of weeks until they head back for that spring semester. I was so excited to see my son, and I've already got him running errands. Yeah, I was just trying to figure out how am I going to go get some bananas and eggs. You know, and then I was like, okay, I don't have enough time to run up to the Hy-Vee during the commercial break, even at the top of the hour, but I got to get these bananas and these eggs. Wait, I got a driver. Yeah. And I'm going to go to a party tonight and he is going to drive me. I don't have to catch an Uber. Yeah, I could just get in but my nerves are bad because, my son, the speed limit is just it's just information. He has a lead foot, and so be in prayer because the last time I rode with him, I went ahead and wore my Depends because I didn't know how things were going to end. Now, I've got my friend Brian McDaniel joining me. We're going to be talking politics in just a moment. He's here on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Now, Brian, is your daughter driving yet?
Freshman, though I'm excited because she's in the school play. They're doing Les Mis, so I'm going to see her tonight. But okay, she has two older brothers.
Yes,
Who it was glorious for me when they were old enough to drive, because then I could say, "Go pick your daughter. Pick your sister up from choir." It was great.
Yes. Okay. So I don't typically ride with Andrew because he doesn't take instruction. Right. I'm like, get over here, slow down, speed up. There's a police up there. Do you see him? Get out of the fast lane. Somebody's coming behind you. Are your lights on? Are you paying attention? You know, so he doesn't like all that. And I like to do all that. And so I typically don't ride with him because he makes my nerves bad. Do you ride with your kids when y'all are going somewhere? They're like, do you allow them to drive you? Because I don't let Andrew drive me.
No, almost never. I like to be in control. But my oldest was a little bit of a speeder, and one time we were driving. He was driving, and we were going through a construction zone. And I pointed out that it said fines for speeding $400 because mm-hmm. we're in a construction zone. And he looks at me, he goes, $400, but they're the ones making us late. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Now, Andrew has that lead foot, and he's gotten a couple of tickets. And so I typically don't ride with him because the last time he took me to the airport, I was like, if I didn't have on my Depends, I would have to go in my luggage and change clothes. It was pretty frightening. So I've ridden. My son has been driving since September. I've ridden with him twice since September. And so tonight I'm going to be going to the Monitors Ball. It's an annual event over at the Hyatt Regency Minneapolis. And it's like the go-to party for black folks in town. Everybody's going to be there. And so I'm going, but I don't want to drive because I know I want to, you know, have me a drink. And so I was going to catch an Uber, but an Uber from Cottage Grove to the Hyatt Regency of downtown Minneapolis is pretty expensive. And so I realized I got a driver. And so I'm going to roll the dice, Brian. I'm going to roll the dice.
You know what? You got the Christmas spirit and you're a brave woman.
Now, speaking of bravery, what is going on with the political scene? I want to start national and then go local. Saw a story that Meta is donating $1 million to Donald Trump's inauguration fund. Mika and Joe went down to Mar-a-Lago and caught hell. It seems like all the tables, they are turning, Brian. What's going on?
You know, it's just it never stops watching people embarrass themselves when it comes to Donald Trump. You know, we all have, you know, everyone's got their opinion of Donald Trump, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, for your listeners, they probably know this, but, you know, my background is Republican, but I'm not a Trump guy. You know, watching people in my own party just genuflect to Trump and have him say whatever he wants and have nothing ever kind of have negative consequences. But after this election, this, you know, when he got reelected and didn't become former President Trump, but became President-elect Trump, it seems like even some of the Democrats are starting to, you know, kind of, you know, fear him and bow to him. And, you know, you talked about Joe and Mika. I mean, they embarrassed not only themselves by going down to Mar-a-Lago and kind of kissing the ring, but they embarrassed their whole network. And, you know, it's, you know, the mainstream media really, really is in a tailspin. And I'm even hearing that from people, you know, friends of ours in the mainstream media. And things like this just give people less and less confidence that the information and the news that they're getting is actually news and not just, you know, political entertainment or spin to, you know, kind of get us to argue with each other. It's pretty disheartening because, you know, if Trump's your cup of tea, great. And if he's not, great. But, you know, we as the American people need to, you know, somewhat demand that our institutions not serve the president, but serve the American people. And it doesn't seem like that's happening right this second.
Well, this is the thing that is concerning for me is that, you know, there is a whole movement that, freedom of the press should not be a part of what we do in this country. That, you know, the people who do the work that media does, you know, investigating stories, making sure to hold officials accountable, shining a light on situations that endanger children, making sure that we know who the bad guys are and who to watch out for so that we can keep our families safe, alert. Information, you know, those are some of the things that we need on a regular, routine, daily basis, recalls, those kinds of things. And, you know, people are going to stop trusting the work that we do if they think that we are not going to be informative, impartial, fair, truthful, and that we're not trying to make one person look good or bad, but we're just delivering the facts. And so it just frightens me because we already have a generation of young people who don't watch the news. You know, they get everything that they want. They get everything that they want from social media. And if it's not on TikTok, then they don't even know about it. And so that makes the work harder because you don't have the audience. But then you have Mika and Joe kissing the rings, and you have, you know, Fox News out there doing what Fox News does, and everybody trying to figure this thing out. And it just makes it hard for people, number one, to trust the work that we do, but also to believe it and then to share it so that the news and information that needs to get out there is, in fact, getting to the people who need it.
Well, I mean, we're in a very scary time right now because it almost feels like even people on the left, that they are so upset by Donald Trump getting reelected that they're almost feeling that if they don't kind of get in line, that they're in trouble. And we can't forget that we have, you know, due process and processes in place that do protect us for the First Amendment and whatnot. But, you know, when you see citizens you know, gunning down CEOs of corporations they don't like, corporations that didn't even wrong them individually, and then the people celebrating that on the internet, that is scary. You know, when you have, you know, President Biden, you know, he says, well, if Trump is going to pardon his father-in-law, I'm going to pardon my son, even though time and time and time again, he said, and his people said, we are not going to do that. When you have, Joe Biden using the power to pardon 1,500 people, many of which are, you know, some of which it was appropriate, and some of them are, it's payback to political friends. We need to hold the people that are in these positions to higher standards, because right now I think everybody is, not everybody, but a large portion of these people are disappointing us. And we as a society, I had coffee this morning with a state senator, and one of the things that we were talking about was just how, there seems to be this belief that, well, the president of the United States acts inappropriately, so why shouldn't I be able to act that way? And I think that the answer is if you think he is acting inappropriately, that gives you more incentive to take the high road. But because if you're saying, well, I'm as bad as him, well, that's not good. That's not something to be proud of. Mm-hmm. And if people are thinking that way, they need to dispossess themselves of those notions.
Now, you had coffee this morning with the state senator. I was just going to ask you about state politics. We're going to take a quick commercial break. But what is coming up next? Walz is back from the campaign trail. We've got new folks taking offices. We've got not the majority that we had before. Is new legislation going to be passed? Old stuff going to be repealed? Where does Walz stand in all this? I'm going to talk to Brian about that when we...
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And it was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Come back. It is 1:23. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Donald Trump is talking about rolling back the clock on daylight savings time, shooting down drones. There's the abortion debate. But Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law is here. And we've got to get to our state politics because Tim Walz is off the campaign trail. He is back. What is the mood like at the state capitol, Brian?
Well, we're in a very weird place. You know, first of all, with Governor Walz not becoming Vice President Walz, he is back in Minnesota, which was not what everyone was thinking. You know, a lot of people were thinking that, you know, Kamala and Walz were going to win, and then, you know, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan was going to, you know, ascend to be the governor, and that, you know, the kind of the dominoes falling that way. But now that's not happening. And on top of that, the Minnesota State House is in a 67-67 tie, which means we don't have a Speaker of the House. We have co-speakers. We don't have committee chairs. We have co-committee chairs. And this just impacts every single part of the legislative process. Throw on top of that that the state office building where we house representatives and their staff is under construction, which means that a lot of them don't have staff, they don't have offices, they don't have a place to meet with anybody. So the agenda of the Republicans and the Democrats is kind of up in the air because we have divided government again. And divided government is really bad for passing good things. It's really good for stopping bad things. So I think that it's going to be harder to pass legislation, but it's also going to be easier to kind of stop things that that don't have, you know, bipartisan agreement. So when you think of what's the worst thing that could happen, well, you can't really do it because either the Republicans or the Democrats are going to get in the way of it. And for Governor Walz, you know, he's in a very strange position now because if he wouldn't have run for Vice President, I think he was going to run for a third term as governor because we don't have term limits the way that they do on the federal level. Now that he is back in Minnesota and a little wounded, I mean, not just because you're breaking all of his plates, but for all the other things that we know about, but he's a little wounded right now, and it's unclear if he's going to run again. And, you know, we hear that, you know, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan would like to run for governor. We hear that, Congresswoman Angie Craig is interested in it as well. So, you know, is Walz going to run for a third term? Or is it going to be perceived that he's standing in the way of, two women that would like to become the first, you know, female governor of the state of Minnesota?
Okay. What about the legislation? Anything coming down the pipe? Something that we need to be looking out for? Anything rumbling there that has folks divided that we need to be aware of? Because, you know, I know every year there is that hot topic, that one thing that, you know, they're trying to pass, you know, for a while it was, you know, free lunches and that, you know, moved through with flying colors again because of the makeup of, you know, the House as well as the Senate, having, you know, all that Democratic leadership and those numbers skewed to the Democrats and they had the votes that they needed to make sure that that passed.
Well, I think that the other thing, you know, in addition to there being a DFL trifecta, we had $18 billion of surplus as well. Now, going into the 2025 legislative session, not only do we have a divided House of Representatives, but the November forecast shows we have a little bit of money extra, a little bit, like $616 million, which
just a little bit. That's a little bit. That's not much, huh?
Pretty soon it's going to be real money. But yeah, $616 million of surplus. But as it's economically projected out, we start having billions of dollars of projected deficits. So I think that what this session is going to be all about is it's going to be all about just putting together the next 2 years of the state budget. I think that both Republicans and Democrats are going to be very hesitant to spend a lot of money because there isn't money to spend, unlike the last 2 years. So I think that this is going to be a quieter session. You're not going to see, you know, big things, you know, about reproductive rights. You're not going to see big things with guns or, you know, trans rights or, and, you know, any of the things that might have been considered hot button issues the last 2 years. I think that there is just an acknowledgement that that type of stuff is not going to be able to pass. So I think there's going to be a focus on the budget. I think that a lot of people who received money in the last 2 years now are going to be a little nervous about maybe having to play defense, protecting money that they got. I think it's just going to be a very, very different tone than what we've seen in the past. So it's going to be all the more important that that people are paying attention and being in contact with their elected officials to not just make sure that good things pass, but also to make sure that good things that might have passed in the last 2 years aren't rolled back.
Okay, here you got to explain something to me. We're talking to Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law, a political expert here on the Shaletta Show. He's joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. How in the hell do we have all this money now? I know you say it's a little bit, but when you start saying billions with a B and millions with an M, that means something to regular people. That's a lot of money to us, right? I keep seeing these stories, and I'm hearing you said, how do we have money now, but we know in 2 years we're not going to have no money? That don't make no sense. If I have money now, I ought to be able to save some so that I'm not broke or in a deficit in the next 2 years.
Well, I think that that's exactly what it needs to happen and will happen. I think that, that there has been a lot of spending. And, you know, if you're one of those people that, you know, had a program that you care about that got money, then you're going to be saying, well, you know, that's good. I like that they spent money on something that I care about. But remember, let's not forget, what is a surplus? This is not the government's money. This is your money, Shaletta. This is my money. So anytime you hear of a surplus, that's not necessarily something to be celebrated. That's saying that the government has overtaxed us and they're holding on to our money. And if they spend that money, even if it's on good programs, well, when we have an economic downturn, and remember, the business cycle, it's up and it's down. We have surpluses, we have deficits, we have good times and bad. We are entering into a time that is looking like it's not going to be as economically rosy as what we had, and if all of a sudden we as a state need money, well, the only way to do that is to raise taxes, and that's something that is politically tough to do. And, you know, the Democrats are going to be, you know, they're up for election in 2 years, the same as Republicans, and they don't want to be the party that spent $18 billion in surplus and then had to come back and ask for more. So they're in a very politically precarious spot. Republicans, who, you know, normally are the party that doesn't like to spend a lot of money anyway, they're in a little bit of a better position because they're going to be able to say, all right, we had $18 billion extra of your money. Where is it? And now they need more. So it's, this is just, you know, basic economics. And I think that there is an acknowledgement by both parties that that there's just not the ability to overspend, which you might argue happened the last 2 years. We still have a ginormous budget. So it's not like, we're not entering a time of austerity yet. But if we don't get a handle on the spending, then we're going to be in a bad position.
Well, I that was some really good explanation, because now I understand it. It didn't make sense to me. It does now. And I can't thank you enough for taking some time out of your Saturday to come and hang out with me. Again, we're talking to Emmy Award-winning political analyst Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law right here on the Shaletta Show.
Hilden has become now Momentum Advocacy. So
yes, congratulations. Yeah. And
Thank you.
Been hiring up all the good people. I said, hell, he didn't hire everybody but me. Every time I look up, y'all got a new person. Okay, so what is Momentum? You got to tell me what happened with the name change and all the rebranding. I need the scoop.
Yes. Well, I'll be very quick. Nancy Hilden, who has been our fearless leader since 2016, she is retiring. So she and her family are going to be taking some much-needed time off and travel and all that good stuff. And my colleague Amy Koch and I have taken over the business. We have rebranded as Momentum Advocacy. And we're adding people, and we're not even done yet. We would hire you in a second, but we can't afford you.
You're expensive. Talk about overspending. I'm telling you, they would put you out of that. Well, congratulations, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you. I'm excited to see what you're doing and all the cool people you're hiring and the business that you're building. And I'm sure the Hilden family is so grateful that their legacy lives on through the work that you and Amy are doing. And I can't wait to hang out with you. We're doing Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol again on February 3rd. So that's gonna be fun.
I cannot wait. We had a great meeting on Friday, and I am excited. I talked to Comcast today about all the good things we get to do to help out.
Hey, Comcast. Hey, Momentum. It's so exciting. And then I talked to Nancy Lyon with Clockwork. They're in again this year. Hello. We are getting the gang back together.
Running it back.
All right, we're going to run back to these commercial breaks. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking more about how you can be more environmentally friendly this holiday season. Stick around. There's more to come on the Shaletta Show. It is 1:40. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. Happy holidays, everyone. I'm looking at my Christmas tree. There could be more there, but you know what? We've got the lights. We've got the ornaments. But most importantly, we got love and family. And that is what this holiday season is all about. I guess I kind of picked up on it a couple of years ago. I've got 4 kids, and each one of those kids gets a couple of gifts from us, a couple of gifts from the grandparents. We don't do it real big. They don't get any more than 5 gifts apiece, and so that starts adding up. That's 20 gifts. And you start unwrapping the paper, and you start tearing the tape off, and you start ripping the plastic or the cardboard off the box. And all of a sudden, you got piles and piles and piles of trash, piles and piles and piles of waste. And we were just talking to Malia Becker about secondhand shopping and how we can reduce waste. But we're talking right now to Beth Carreño. She is the outreach and engagement expert at Ramsey County Environmental Health. She has worked in natural resources for over 30 years. And most recently, she worked for Metro Watershed District before joining Ramsey County Environmental Health. She's been on the show before. As we start talking about being more eco-friendly, living a more sustainable life, making sure that our environment in this planet Earth is around for our kids and our kids' kids. So, Beth, I thank you so much for joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. As I start to wrap up these gifts and I start putting them under this tree, knowing that I'm going to have 4 or 5 trash bags full of wrapping paper and plastic and fabric and yarn and all kind of other stuff. How can I make this more sustainable, more environmentally friendly? I just, in my mind, you know, and I knew I was going to be talking to you. I'm like, Beth is going to have to help me understand how to reduce this waste, because I can't see how to do that and have a Merry Christmas for the kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you were talking to someone about, you know, thrifting and buying secondhand, or, you know, other ideas are like consumables or experiences, you know, giving people the gift of time, really focusing on why. Yeah. Focus on why we're getting together. What is the purpose that your family, you know, what's the holiday that your family is celebrating? But then once you find those gifts and focusing on the right gifts and what people really want and need, as opposed to just overconsumption, we want to wrap them. We want to make it special, right? And that's where, you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, wrapping paper, we recycle paper, it's recyclable. Right. Most wrapping paper is not recyclable.
No, it is not. It's, and it tells you when you buy it on that plastic, it is not recyclable, because that's why mine wind up in the trash. I'm like, what? It's not paper? That don't make no sense, Beth.
I know. And so that's something that we're working on, to try to work on the market end, to bring us products that are recyclable. But in the meantime, you know, craft paper, the brown paper packages tied up with string, right? That paper is recyclable, but also gift bags, fabric gift bags. I have friends that take a cute pillowcase and they put a couple presents in there and then tie the pillowcase with a bow, and it looks like Santa's sack. There are all sorts of gift bags that you can reuse. Tins and little boxes that can be reused. And, you know, with my family, you know, Santa brings us some gifts, not too many, but he brings us a few.
Yeah.
And if Santa visits your house, Santa, a lot of times we've let him know that he can bring them to us in reusable bags and boxes. Mm. And then after Christmas, my kids help me put it in a box, and we tape it up, and we write North Pole, and we send them back to Santa so that he can reuse them again for us next year.
So if you keep
using those reusable bags, fabric bags, little tins, and you can use them over and over, and they become part of your holiday tradition.
Okay, now here's the one thing that we talked about, and I want to make known right now, because I was looking at my tree, and I'm like, I need more ornaments. You know, I've got a few little things on here. I've got my little lights, but I went over to Tim Walz's house, and I mean, it's decorated to the nines. And I come back and look at my little Christmas tree, and I think I need to do more. But one of the things that you talk about is reusable holiday decorations, vintage or secondhand decorations. And that's not even something that I thought about when I was talking to Malia about shopping, is that we can get these secondhand ornaments and decorations that somebody else has used that they're not going to be using anymore. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. So, you know, you can, if you buy a few special things every year, you know, you can find them at thrift shops, secondhand shops. Even some of the antique shops have them that aren't terribly expensive, and you can fill out your tree that way. You can make handmade ornaments that you're able to kind of keep from year to year. And you know, I really like to encourage my family members, especially like my children are now in their 20s and they're growing up. Don't be so quick to just feel like you have to snap your fingers and have a full Christmas tree. You know, let your Christmas tree be filled with memories. And so finding the right ornaments slowly over time, keeping them, finding them at those thrift shops, ones that really speak to your personality, you know, and just letting it evolve over time, you know. The hard part is those lights, right? I love Christmas lights on my tree. We recently switched over to the LED lights because they are more energy efficient. They don't get hot. They're much safer. And so when I had all of these really old lights that weren't the LED, I took them to one of our HHW facilities. We don't want to put those in the trash. When your lights stop working, we have those Fix-It clinics. You and I have talked about our Fix-It clinics in the past. You can take them in and see if one of our fixers can help repair your strand of lights. But then when they can't be fixed anymore, please, you know, we don't want to put those in the trash. We can take those old strands of lights and, again, take them to the household hazardous waste sites across our county.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sitting up here and I am enjoying reading our Christmas cards, Beth. I mean, my friend Kelly always sends beautiful cards. Any of my friends like Kelly and Brandy Powell, they've got new babies. I know the new baby pictures are going to be on the card. I love new babies as long as they're not mine and I don't have to take care of them. And so I'm looking forward to all these cards and I've already got a big giant stack. I'm wondering, because I've got Christmas cards. Once the season is over, I take the cards and I put them in a big, giant bag so that I make sure mm-hmm. that next year I send cards out to anybody who sent a card to me, right? And I save mm-hmm. those addresses and those names because things happen. People get divorced. They move, whatever. So, girl, look, I got some cards from 2017, 2018, 2019. Mm-hmm. 2020, 2021, mm-hmm. 2022, 2023. Now here's my bag, 2024 cards. They're all piled up on top of each other. Can I recycle mm-hmm. my Christmas cards? They're paper, but I thought I could recycle the wrapping paper and I can't.
Right. So it depends on the card. The photo papers, you know, so they may say Fuji or something on the back, and it's like a photograph card.
Right.
Those are super popular to send, but they are not recyclable.
What? Girl.
Yeah, they're not.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
The cards that come on cardstock are recyclable. But cards that have glitter or velvet or bows, those aren't recyclable. You can recycle the ones with foil if it's kind of embedded into the card, as long as there's paper with it, you know, if there's paper under the foil. So, you know, you're going to have people kind of have to look at it and they have to think, right? They have to take that moment and go, okay, the photo cards, these glittery cards aren't recyclable. The cardstock cards are, but I'm going to give you a fun tip that
right,
I love
girl,
to do. When you're looking at those old cards, that's a craft project to do with little kids, friends, old kids. My older friends, we love to do this where we take some of these old cards that we've had for a few years and you cut them up and they make the most darling Christmas tags.
Oh! So,
yeah. So if you have some cards and you're like, oh, they're so pretty, they're not recyclable, you know, go ahead and look at them and see if you can see a Christmas tag that is in there. You can kind of cut them up, punch a hole in them, and then use them for a little craft project that way.
Well, girl, it is always fun mm-hmm. and informative when you come on the show. Now, folks are listening. We know you work with Ramsey County in their environmental health department. But I want you to tell me where people can go to get some of this information because they may be driving or shopping or just listening while they're doing some laundry at the house. And they didn't write any of this stuff down.
Yeah. So it's RamseyRecycles.com. RamseyRecycles.com. RamseyRecycles.com.
All right, Beth, you have a happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And thank you so much for all the gems you always drop on the show when you're here. It has just been such a joy to work with.
Thank you so much. It's always nice to talk. Thank you.
All right. And you all, same to you, and you all stick around. There's more to come. I remember when he was just a little boy and he would go to the gas station for me and, you know, he would jump on his bike or his skateboard and come back with a bag of chips or a drink or a newspaper or something. And, you know, now he's driving and he's a grown adult man and he's in college, but he's home now. My son, Andrew, 18 years old, home from St. Cloud State University. And, you know, I'm sitting up here And he went to the Hy-Vee just to get some eggs and some bananas. And I got to tell you, I am worrying. I know I got to shake it off. He's a grown man. He's got a car. He's got a job. He's in college. But when does that mama worry go away? Like, I'm worrying about him like he's 5 years old again. You know, like, I want to know if his teeth are clean. I want to know if he put deodorant on. Is can I check his toenails, y'all? Can I check to see if he clipped his toenails? I know he's 18, but can I just ask him to take his socks off to make sure his toenails are clipped? He might have forgot. I want to be mama. I want to baby him while he's home. You know, he's been gone for, you know, 5 months. He left in August. He's back in December. And, you know, I don't know. Has he clipped his toenails? Does he use the right soap? Does he have deodorant on? When's the last time he washed his hair? Are those things that I can be concerned about right now? I'm literally, like during the commercial break, looking through the window like, why isn't he home from Hy-Vee? It's only 1.7 miles. He should be back. He got nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. His mama is on his back again. Like, instead of 18, he's 8 years old. And I'm on your back. There's nowhere to hide because there's more of the Shaletta Show coming up.